السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I will start again. I think I was on mute on one device. I was unmuted. So on one device by mistake I had left it on mute. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Alhamdulillah, my dear respected brothers and sisters, it's a great opportunity that today we are here together. Virtually, we have gathered to listen to the book reading of Hayat al-Sahaba. Alhamdulillah, we are on the first volume and we are on page 114. Before we start, I would like to remind each and every one of us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He loves us. Why? Why am I saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us? Because He has enabled us to remember Him. He has gifted us with this chance, with this opportunity to remember Him. Whether we are sitting here present now or whether we are listening to this recording at some other time, He has given us the opportunity to remember Him. He has gifted us with this. Not many people are able or given this gift. This is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many times we think of doing good. We plan, okay, we will do this, we will do this. And then we lose track of time and we don't get to do those good deeds that we planned. This also, we became mahroom, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that time did not enable us to do those good deeds. So alhamdulillah, we should say alhamdulillah, we should do shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has enabled us to be here today and to listen to the stories of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. He has enabled us to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has enabled us to remember Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Inna ad-deena inda Allahi al-Islam, that the only religion acceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Islam. Islam is what took us out of ignorance. Islam is what brought us towards peace. Islam is what brought us towards justice. Islam showed us a path that leads us to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is justice. When we fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we do the right thing. When we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then if we do something wrong, we apologize, we make amends. This is through Islam. Similarly, when we have hope of Allah's mercy, we have hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward us. We do good deeds and we also repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we hurt someone, we go back and we apologize. This fear of azab hits our heart that how will I answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And it causes us to make amends. This is the peace that Islam is bringing us. This is the peace that Islam brings to us. But when we don't have Islam, when we are not following the deen, then right and wrong will not make any difference. We see this today throughout the world. Those people who are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or who are not following the teachings of Islam, or who are following other religions, There is no justice in them. The love of dunya is there. The love of dunya is in their hearts. There is no justice apparent. Overall, there is no justice in their leaders. Maybe individually, they are righteous. Yes, but there is no justice in their system. The system has no justice. Why? Because it is not following the teachings of Islam. And by reading the Hayat al-Sahaba, reading the stories of the Sahaba, we are going back to the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we are learning about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the seerat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And many people, they don't want us to learn the seerat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because then we will realize what is right, we will realize what is wrong, we will realize that how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did the work of da'wah. We will see the incorrectness, and we will realize the incorrectness that is happening around us in the world today. We will realize and will notice the incorrectness that is happening in the world today. That when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, everything was against him. All the odds were against him. All the people were against him. Yet Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam held firm onto deen. And this is the lesson that we have to take from these stories. Let us start reading from page 114 where we had left off. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invites the Banu Bakr to Islam. Hazrat Abbas radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once said to him, I do not see any help forthcoming from yourself and your brother. Will you not take me to the marketplace tomorrow so that we may stop at the places where the various tribes are staying? This was during the time when all the Arabs were gathered there in Mecca for the Hajj. Consequently, they left for the marketplace where Hazrat Abbas radiallahu anhu showed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the camps of the various tribes. Continuing the narration, Hazrat Abbas radiallahu anhu says that he pointed out to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is the Kindar tribe and those are with them. They are the best of tribes from Yemen performing Hajj, pointing towards the camps of their tribes. Hazrat Abbas radiallahu anhu further said, this is the camp of the Banu Bakr bin Wali tribe. And that is the Banu Amir bin Sasasa camp. You may choose whichever you like to give dawah to. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started by meeting Kindar tribe. He approached them and said, where do you people come from? They replied, from the people of Yemen. From which tribe of Yemen? Asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From the Kindar tribe, they responded. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam further asked them, from which family of Kindar tribe do you belong? They said, from the Banu Amir bin Muawiyah family. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then asked them, do you want something good? What is it? They asked. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, that you should testify that there is none worthy of worship but Allah, that you establish salah, and that you believe in everything that has come from Allah. According to a report from the elders of the Kindar tribe, the people of Kindar then said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you are successful, shall we receive kingship thereafter? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, all kingship belongs to Allah, and He shall grant it to whoever He pleases. The people then said, we have no need for the message that you have brought to us. According to a report of Qalbi, they said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have you come to us to prevent us from worshipping our gods and so that we should oppose the Arabs? Go back to your people, for we have no need for you. After leaving them, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam approached the Banu Bakr bin Wali tribe. He asked them, where do you people come from? They replied, we are from the Banu Bakr bin Wail tribe. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam further asked them, from which family of the Banu Bakr bin Wail tribe do you belong? From the Banu Qais bin Tha'laba family, they responded. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked them, how large are your members? We are as many as the grains of sand, they boasted. What authority do you have? Asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. None, they replied. The Persians are our neighbors and we can neither defend ourselves against them nor defend anyone else against them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, if you people steadfastly take it on your shoulders to recite Subhanallah 33 times, Alhamdulillah 33 times, Allahu Akbar 34 times, you shall see a time if Allah preserves you till then when you would live in the homes of the Persians, marry their women and take their sons as your slaves. Who are you? They asked. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, I am the messenger of Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then left them. According to a report of Qalbi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's uncle, Abu Lahab, always followed him and said to the people, do not accept what he has to say. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had left the people and Abu Lahab was passing by them, they asked him, do you know this man? Abu Lahab replied, yes, he is a man of high status among us. What do you wish to know about him? When the people informed Abu Lahab about the dawah Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given to them and that he claimed to be Allah's Rasul, Abu Lahab sneered, "Do not even raise your head to speak to him, for he is insane and speaks without thinking." The people said, "That is what we thought when he told us about the Persians." Subhanallah, you see here, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving da'wat. Abu Lahab is going and giving counter da'wat. Don't listen to what these people are saying. This is what is happening today. We are going backwards. We are going backwards. In reality, now we have reached a stage where we are going backwards to that same format that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had. When we give da'wah to people, other people come and they say, no, don't listen to these people, don't. These people, they're insane, they're crazy, they are extremists, they don't know what they are doing. If we see all around us, this is what we have reverted, this is what the Islam has now reverted to. Now when we are giving da'wah, other people are coming. They are saying, don't listen to these people are extremists, these people are crazy, they don't know what they are talking about. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was giving da'wah towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was giving da'wah to people to stay away from idol worship. He was giving them da'wah not to do shirk. And Abu Lahab, he was going around and what he was telling them, no, don't listen to them. Similarly today, Muslims, our scholars, our ulama, they are giving da'wah towards people to people that stay away from these sins. Turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the things that we see around us are not correct. These things, these actions that are happening are incorrect. Stay away from these actions. And then we have other people coming forward and saying, no, don't listen to all these people. These are all extremists. Now times have changed. Now we are living in the modern age. Now we are living in the modern age. Exactly what the work of deen that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. We live in a zamana where we have to do that same work of deen that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. Not only propagating deen, but also warning people of the wrongs that are happening in society. We shouldn't get put down by people who speak out against us. We have to ensure that the work of deen we are doing is according to Islam. That in the work of deen and in our lives we try and bring the teachings of Islam, and in our work of deen we do it in the manner that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it. We do it in the manner acceptable by Islam. That we do not falter in our methods of propagating deen, that we do not go in the other direction. There are many Abu Lahabs today in this generation, my dear respected sisters and brothers. There are many Abu Lahabs in this generation. And they are also coming around. And they are also speaking out. And just like Abu Lahab had more influence than Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that time, Abu Lahab had more support at that time than Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had a greater seat than Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today also, the Abu Lahabs of today, they also have a greater position than we do. They also have a greater following than we do. They also have a greater influence than we do. So we shouldn't let this effort, this scenario deter us, but we should take lesson from this story that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not give up. He kept striving on the path of deen. He kept calling people towards Islam. He kept calling people towards Islam. So we should also make this effort to call people towards deen, call people towards Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invites various tribes to Islam at Mina. Hazrat Rabia bin Ibad radiallahu anhu narrates that he was a youngster with his father at Mina when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped at the camp of various Arab tribes, saying to them, "O people of this tribe, I am indeed Allah's Rasul to you, instructing you to worship Allah alone without ascribing any partners to him and to forsake these idols that you worship. I further direct you to believe in me, to accept me and to offer me asylum so that I may clearly express that which Allah has sent me with." Hazrat Rabia bin Ibad radiallahu anhu says further that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was being trailed by squint, albeit handsome men whose hair was divided into two locks and who was wearing clothes with Aden, from Aden. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had completed his talk and the message he was conveying, this man would say to the people, "O people of this tribe, this man is calling you to remove Lat and Uzza from your necks, together with the jinns of the Banu Malik bin Ukaysh, who are your allies. He wants you to rather follow the newfound and misguided religion he has bought. Do not follow him and do not even listen to him." Hazrat Rabia radiallahu anhu says that he asked his father, "O father, who is this man who follows him and belies what he says?" His father replied, "That is his uncle, Abdul Uzza bin Abdul Muttalib, also known as Abu Lahab." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was giving da'wat and his uncle was following him, and his uncle was giving the counter da'wat. His uncle was speaking against Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is also the situation that we are in today. We are in a situation that when we give da'wat, maybe the people who come against us may be our relatives, maybe our own family members, maybe someone that we know. But we should not deter from the path of deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us in different manners. This test will not be easy. This test in the dunya will not be easy. All the time people are choosing that path which is easy for them. All the time people are choosing that route which is easy for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test us in so many different ways. Through our money, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test us through our children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test us through our family. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test us through deen, through dunya. Sometimes we are doing business and we start making money, and then the opportunity comes in front of us for a very big deal. It's such a deal that will make us a lot of money. But there is something in that deal which is now haram, which will make the whole deal haram. That whole money will become haram. What will we do? We are in need of that money. Even if we are not in need of that money, maybe we are, maybe we are not. Will we choose to go forward with that business deal? This is where the test comes. When we don't have these situations, it's easy, we are acting upon Islam. But when these situations come and they are presented to us, that look, if you want, you can make money. This is the option, but it involves sin. Now what will we choose to do? Will we choose to break the laws of Islam so we can attain dunya, so we can attain money? Or will we choose not to break the laws of Islam, and we will, in our mind, we will think that we are losing that rosy. Whatever rosy is written for us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give. So many times Allah is testing people in the same manner. So when we see other people who are doing very well, whether it is in dunya, whether it is in business, don't wish to have what they have. Because when we are in their situation, we will be tested. Maybe alhamdulillah, they are passing those tests of dunya. But when we are in their situation, we will also be tested with dunya. We will be tested with money. And this is where we will find it very hard. We will find it very difficult. We'll find it very difficult to say no. This is why if you see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he lived a life of a poor person even when he had the opportunity to live as a rich man. People were giving him gifts and he would give these gifts out immediately. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would distribute everything he received to the people. When we put dunya in our mind, when we start thinking about dunya, when we start thinking about dunya, this is where dunya will enter into our hearts. And where dunya will enter into our hearts, our purpose will become dunya. And when we see an opportunity to do something which is beneficial for us, even if it is haram, then we will do that. But when we put Allah in our hearts, when we are thinking about how to do the effort of deen, how to give dawah, how to call people towards Islam, then every opportunity we get, our thought will be, how can I utilize this opportunity to call someone to Islam? When we are sitting, our minds will be thinking that how can I give dawah? How can I be a better Muslim? What good can I do? What good can I do tomorrow? What good can I do the day after? This is now having the fikr of spreading Islam, the fikr of being a better Muslim, the fikr and concern of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now is occupying our mind and it is occupying our hearts. And we might think that, hold on, this is ajeeb, how can this be possible? But if we are not thinking about deen, then what will we be thinking about? Yeah, we will, our minds will be thinking about something. If we are not thinking about deen, then we might be thinking about dunya. We might be thinking about something else, whatever it may be. Whatever. If we are a businessman, we might be thinking about, okay, what business am I going to do tomorrow? What am I going to sell? What transactions will I do? Now we are thinking about dunya. We might be thinking about, what are we going to cook tomorrow? What are we going to cook the next day? But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's fikr, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's fikr was deen. Constantly Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thought about deen. And this is what we have to start doing in our minds, that how can I become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How can I get closer to Islam? And what we think about, that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open the doors for us for. This is what Allah, without us realizing, things will happen to save us from sin. To save us from sin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open doors. Something will happen in our lives and we'll think, oh no, what are we going to do? Then after a while, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open doors to relieve us of those problems and of those potential sins. Why? Because we are concerned about saving us from those sins. So we have to take all this into mind, my dear respected brothers and sisters. We have to concentrate on this. And when reading the stories of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, when reading the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, think of the situation that they were in. Think how they had gone against everyone around them, like Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had. Think about all the sacrifices that they have made. It's very easy to say, okay, oh, we will go talk to that person. No, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sahaba, they were sacrificing and going against everything. Today, we find it very difficult to even give dawah to someone we know. We find it very difficult to give dawah. This is because of the society we live in. This is because of the society we live in. It has killed our hearts. It has killed our ability to talk and to give dawah to people. So let's make a practice from today. Practice, give dawah to people, invite, if it's our sister, our brother, our cousin brother, our parents, invite them to Islam, do ta'aleem in the house. And inshallah, we will see slowly, 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 when we are with other people, we will automatically be talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we are sitting there, we will mention to them to a verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll mention to them the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now we might think that this is ajeeb. No, this is not possible. But when we are with people, we are talking about other things. Why? Because things we love. It might be football. It might be what's happening in the dunya. It might be other issues. It might be what's happening in Gaza. It might be what is on our mind. We will speak, we will talk, we will converse. It might be what we did in school. It might be what we did at home. So these are the things. When we put Islam in our hearts, everything we do, we say, we'll start following the path of Islam. Everything we do and we say, we'll start following the path of Islam, inshallah. Automatically, we will start walking the path of deen without realizing it. So, inshallah, we will end here today. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the realization of the sacrifices that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum made, the sacrifices that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made, the sacrifices that the people who have come before us have made. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not test us the way that He has tested them. If we were tested the way the Sahaba radiallahu anhum had tested, we would fail. we would fail. Today it's easy for us to give da'wah because we're not losing anything. The moment that for you to give da'wah means that you are losing something, that is the test. When you are giving da'wah, people are, like for the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, for them to accept Islam meant that they are losing their parents. For them to give da'wah to Islam means that their brothers are turning against them, their friends are turning against them, people that they knew in the community is turning against them. This is the situation that is happening in many countries now. If you want to give da'wah, if you want to give da'wah the way Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave you da'wah, your brothers and sisters will turn against you and hate you. But if you give the da'wah the way people want to give you da'wah, not talk about subjects, not talk about the fitness that we are facing, then everybody will be your friend. Not talk about what gunas are happening in the masjid, not talk about all the free mixing that is taking place in the masjid, not talk about all these things, everybody will be your friend. The moment you start saying and asking questions, brothers, what is happening in our masjid, men, women, everything is in a circle, men and women are sitting in a circle, we are sitting with Christians and praying with them, we are sitting with the Jews and praying with them, that's when all the Abu Lahabs will come out and they will start pointing fingers at you, what are you doing, and you are a hypocrite, and you are this and you and that. This is what is happening, my dear respected brothers and elders. They are taking over our deen. The Christians, the Jews, all of these people, they are attacking our religion from left, right and center. And our speakers of deen, they are playing their game. They are speaking, they are distracting us with other stories. They are talking about other things that are not as important. They are not telling us the dangers that we are facing. They are not warning us of what is happening to our deen. Our books are being changed and they're not telling us. Does it not hurt us that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he went through all this effort. He made this effort to bring the Quran, the Sunnah to us. And today, in front of our eyes, it is crumbling. Today, people are going against it from within, and we cannot do anything about it. This is the imtihan today, that do we stand up for our religion, for Islam? Do we call people towards Islam? Or do we do that what everybody else is doing and just talk about, let's pray Salah, let's do this, let's do X, Y, and Z, and not even mention the fitnas, the troubles we are facing. If you are walking through the jungle and your guide knows that there's a lion ahead, maybe after 1 mile, or 2 miles, or 3 miles, or 3 kilometers, 5 kilometers, and there's only one path now. When he comes to the split path, he takes the path that will take you directly to the lion, but he does not tell you. On the way, he laughs, he jokes, he socializes with you, makes you feel really good. He knows there's a lion ahead, and when you get to that lion, and the lion then eats you, would you think that that guide was a good guide? These are the guides that we have in dunya today. They are smiling, they are laughing with you, they are joking with you, they are making you happy, but they are walking you in that direction, towards that direction where the fitna is. They are using deen towards walking you in the direction of where the fitna is. And when the fitna will grab us, then it will be too late. It will engulf us, it will circle us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to give da'wah, to do the work that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam did, not to sit silently and while his deen is in the attack. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive me if I have said anything wrong. Inshallah, we hope to meet everyone next week again. Jazakallah for tuning in. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from his beloved. Ameen. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.